Most gracious and merciful God, Almighty Father, Mother, Creator and Sustainer, Giver of life and all good, it's a blessed realization to see that you've called us together this evening, that it's you who've been holding us together in your love while we grow, and you who feed us with your word. Lord, we're so grateful for this good company with whom to share the word. I'm grateful to ask your help in opening our minds and hearts to be receptive so that we might receive the word and be fruitful, so that it might multiply in our personal consciousness, and that we might walk your word into the world and serve you everywhere as servants of your love. Move in each of us this evening, Lord, in obvious and unmistakable ways to make it clear and evident that this is your church, that we are your people, and that you are the living and eternal God who hears and answers our every prayer. In the Father who is transcendent, in the Word omnipresent, and in the Spirit immanent, your divine indwelling, we pray this.
Our first reading is from the book of Exodus. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock across the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in fire, flaming out of a bush. As he looked on, he was surprised to see that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, "I must go over to look at this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw him coming over to look more closely, God called out to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." He answered, "Here I am." God said, "Come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." "I am the God of your father," he continued, "the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The cry of the children of Israel has reached me, and I have truly noted that the Egyptians are oppressing them. Come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh to lead my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He answered, "I will be with you, and this shall be your proof that it is I that I have sent you. When you bring my people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this very mountain." The word of the Lord. Psalm 103, the response, "The Lord is kind and merciful." The Lord is kind and merciful. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The Lord is kind and merciful. He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion. The Lord is kind and merciful. The Lord secures justice and the rights of all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel. The Lord is kind and merciful. Alleluia, alleluia. Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
So back in the mid-70s, my girlfriend was taking classes at CU, University of Colorado Medical Center, and she was taking a human anatomy course, and I was invited to audit and dissecting people's bodies. And it was absolutely fascinating to go layer by layer by layer, using tiny tools and teasing out blood vessels and teasing out nerve fibers and tendons and pulling a tendon here and watching fingers move and seeing the mechanics of the human body. It was just astonishing to me. And the idea that this had once been a person was not lost on me, because these cadavers had their eyebrows shaved off and had their hair shaved off, so they were intended not to look personal. But it would be impossible, at least for me, to see that as a person, because there was no person there. There was a corpse, almost like a chrysalis. It was just this hard, dead thing that was there. Now, I saw my mom right after she died, same thing. We drove up to Dallas, and they were all very apologetic. Well, she hasn't been prepared, and it's okay. You know, you sure you want to see this? You sure you can handle it? Well, sure, I can handle it. Anyway, there's the body laying there. It sure was not Mom. Mom was absolutely missing from the scene. But, you know, Western cultural consciousness, being so materialistic, has largely identified self with body. And we've lost something that Jesus is referring to as the province of the childlike. We've lost a sense of wonder in which we participate in the most amazing and astonishing universe with the most amazing and astonishing physical presence, and yet we don't really get wonder. We get, oh, geez, I'm tired, I got to go to work. Did you hear what he said? So Moses is leading Jethro's flocks through the desert at Midian, and suddenly he sees a bush that is burning and is not consumed. And the translation I like best says, and he turned aside, meaning he had been heading someplace before, but something caught his attention, and he turned aside to see what this most wondrous thing was. Now, I've done years of lectio on this, and pondering and praying and reading and looking, and one day, I don't know, I'm in decades now, many years ago, it suddenly hit me. The human nervous system is burning with life. It is coursing with life. And that life is entering into us we know not how. And for our 70, the burning goes on and on. And my intuition in this case, the spiritual understanding I had, was that Moses had an intuition of the mystical nature of life. That suddenly, he wasn't heading any place, he was there, and he just looked. Oh my goodness, look at this. This body stays alive. And it isn't consumed, and it's being moved, and it does things, and I know not how. So as he approached the bush to see a little more about it, a voice came from the bush that said, don't come any closer, and take off your shoes, because the ground upon which you are standing is holy ground. Well, used to seem to me like that was for Moses back a long time ago, and they were in the Holy Land. But through the understandings I've come to through the Eucharist, through modern physics, contemporary physics, and theology, Christology, I've come to understand that there's no place we can put our feet that isn't holy ground. And no place we can exist, we can exist without noticing it. But when we notice it, the life in us, it's like, oh my God. There's no explanation that touches this. Nor is there an explanation for fire. I mean, we can come across all kinds of scientific facts about combustion, oxygen to matter ratios and things like that. But the fact of fire itself is pretty amazing. The conversion of matter back into what? Some source that it came from originally. But again, a great and wonderful mystery. And so fire stands between heaven and earth. It is somehow manifesting on earth, and yet it's not distinct. It hasn't got a hard outline around it. You can't catch it and put it in a box. It's alive and not alive. Very interesting. And Moses, I got that day when I was praying about it, intuits that his livingness is not consumed. And it keeps pouring into his body. And then in some way, he is the effect of a cause that is invisible to him. The bush is helping him see his own life in a way, by externalizing it, in a way that gives him a look at the holiness of all human life, of the gift of life that was his own physical life, and of the unlimited destiny that is possible for those who get the wonder of life. No explanations needed, just this is holy ground. You know, the day we consecrated this sanctuary, we processed. Father Keating with the dispersal was shaking water on all of us. Father Errico was right behind him with the incense pot. And the whole place was singing, this is holy ground, this is holy ground, for the Lord is present. And where the Lord is present, it is holy. And so there is from time to time that sense of holiness, mystery and wonder that is the province of the ordinary day of a child that touches us. But Christ now comes, thousands of years after Moses gets this intuition, here comes Christ, and he's not only intuiting about the nervous system and the livingness and the electromechanical convergence, but he's witnessing to the fact that God and humanity are one. That there is no God without the humans, and there are no humans without God. There are many potential humans that don't know about God yet. They haven't caught fire. Which, by the way, Jesus said, you know, I came to bring fire to the earth, and oh, how I wish it were burning already. So this fire that he witnesses to with his very existence is a mirror for us to see the whole of the human race in. The whole unlimited presence, the spiritual power, the mysterious wholeness of each and every human being, whether she or he knows it or not. But the knowing of it has been communicated to us through the person of Jesus on the stage of history, the Son of God. And he says anybody who he reveals it to can know themselves as sons and daughters of God too. And that sons, of course, is not a statement about your sexual sex, whether male or female. It refers to a creation of, or an offshoot of, or a manifestation of. I'm caused by something, and I can't see it. And you're caused by something, and you can't see it. But there's something when we start to get close to the bush, it is our lives, there's something that begins to emerge, is that we are unique persons. Jesus was a unique person. He wasn't a generic person. He wasn't holier than thou. He was thou. He was moi. He was a human race in person. And he invites us to see in himself our own lives in a new way, conceived in a new way by seeing him witnessing to what's true for all of us. Now, what I like about this is no one knows the Father but the Son. And no one knows the Son but the Father and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. And of course, that's what we're all about here. This whole place, Christianity itself, if it knows it, is built on the understanding of the Trinity, which involves sonship and daughtership. Meaning that not only are we not self-manifested, self-creating, self-improving machines, but we are mysterious presences that have a personal heart in us that had to be possible before it got into us. And Jesus said, that's what I call my Father, my Abba, because I don't exist without the Father. But hey, a coin, the head side doesn't exist without the tail side. If you've got the head side, you've got the tail side also. And if we begin to get through Jesus, through what he's offering us, that we have a Father, that our own existence is caused by something, the personhood in us, the personness in us, is communicating itself into us, then we can tell by our own existence and our own dependence on this mysterious living presence that keeps communicating itself to us. We can tell by that that there's a Father of us. The Son, or the dependent part, noticing herself or himself. Oh my God, I'm a totally contingent creature. Well, you don't even have to use the word Father. You can just say, oh, great being of which I am a clear manifestation. Thank you for having me. Thank you that there's a me and that you've let me know the you. And the Father says, everything I have is yours. You're my creation. You're my image and likeness. And as the person of the human race, all the qualities that you've ever seen in any human being are present in you, latent, not developed, but there are no limits on you. There are no limits at all except the self-imposed or culturally imitated limits that we presume to be the case. Quantum physics has kind of wiped out that pretension to know what's going on here and to be able to control it. But you know, when we get this idea of sonship and realize that whatever modicum of intelligence is present in us, the universe that created us is far vaster, far more intelligent, and far more loving. And it has revealed us to us in the person of Jesus. And it has revealed Christ, the deep interior, the Son in each of us, that also brings with it the Father. So when we notice our dependence, when we notice the aliveness that we can't explain, there's really nothing else to do but lift our awareness up to the cause that's implicit in noticing our own existence. And what will happen next is astonishing. It's the communication of the Holy Spirit. When a human individual ceases to tell themselves a story about who and what they are, what they can and can't do, but instead simply becomes wonder-filled like a child, marveling that anything it is at all, or that I came to be. When we get that and start speaking to the intelligence that gave us speech, the power of the Holy Spirit communicates itself to us in ways that are absolutely unmistakable and unavoidable. Little by little, we get it that we are being lived. I do not live, I'm being lived. And the gift of this is to lift the burden of the separate self from us. But Christ's burden is easy. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. We don't have to do something right. We don't have to save the world. We have to be in relationship with the Father through the Son and in the presence of the Holy Spirit, which mysterious relationship is self-validating, self-informing, astonishingly grace-filled, because we realize that we've been trying to do God's job all along, and our job was really just to be his offspring, filled with wonder, filled with the joy of discovery, because, well, like a friend I had that had Alzheimer's, she made new friends every day out of the same people. When we're in the child mind, everything's brand new. Everything is alive with wonder. Everything communicates the presence of God to us. So our job is to become unsophisticated. Thank God Jesus said that you've hidden this from the wise and the learned, who really think they've got it together because they've stored up some facts. Because you don't need to store up any facts to simply be amazed. Just amazed that we get to do this. Amen. The love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ are with us now and always. Amen.